Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter podcast. This is Julia Legian. Ladies and gentlemen, I am excited to introduce to you a special, inspiring, hardworking, and passionate young entrepreneur friend of mine. His name is Rhys Hans, all the way from the UK. He is the founder and CEO of Hans Culture Limited and Design, and also the co-founder of an Asian fashion and lifestyle magazine called Myra Magazine. Hello, Rhys, and welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello. Hello, Julia. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I'm not too bad.
First, I'd like to say thank you for your wonderful book. I have finally finished reading it. It's jam-packed with priceless tips and wonderful, inspiring story of young and creative entrepreneurs like yourself.
Oh, thank you so much.
I believe your parents had chosen a very promising career for you at a very young age. And you were spending endless hours and years of your young life dedicating and putting yourself through vigorous training routine and working extremely hard towards that dream. But unfortunately, due to a terrible injury, your hopes and dream came to an abrupt end. And because of that accident, it steers you to an entirely different destiny. Do you don't mind sharing your story with our listeners today?
Oh yeah, no problem. So from the age of four and a half, I was training as a gymnast, and I would, in the beginning, I only trained one day a week. And then as I was older and I was chosen to be part of the gymnastics squad, at my peak, I trained 5 days a week for 25 hours a week.
Wow.
I did regional and national competitions. I would have to travel across the UK for national training camps, but also for like big competitions. I know that was kind of my priority. A lot of people, including my coaches and my parents, kind of saw that being my route to success. And then at the age of about 14, I had tendon damage in both my shoulders, which caused me to have to like step away from gymnastics because I wasn't really able to train anymore. I was feeling a lot of pain whilst training. So I had to go for a year of physio. And through that year, I had a lot of more free time on my hands.
Yes.
So I started to draw, I had to pick up art, which then led me to create my company a year later.
That's pretty amazing. Most kids would use their injury as a get out of jail free card. And you had a perfect opportunity just to do that.
Yeah.
You could have stayed home, play games, chill out with your friends and do absolutely nothing. Why didn't you take that option?
I think at the age of 10, someone told me that gymnasts don't actually make any money. So from the age of 10, I was kind of always like, oh, maybe there needs to be another route. I need to think about another route after gymnastics.
Yeah.
And I had always kind of been envious of my friends who never had a sport or never had an intense sport.
Uh-huh.
So at the end of a school day, they could go out to the park, or they could, have sleepovers and all of that. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that was me training. That was me blocked off every week.
Yeah.
So in the first initial month or a few months, I would say, I enjoyed being a normal kid.
Yeah.
But then because I'm so used to putting 25 hours into something, I missed that.
Okay.
So when I fell in love with drawing and art, I was like, okay, this is a thing that I can turn into. I didn't really know it was going to be a business, but I was like, I know this could be a thing that I could be known for. And then as soon as I started making my first t-shirts a year later, I was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I want to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know what an entrepreneur was at the time, but I was like, I want to be a businessman.
That's what I said. I have heard and seen so many people turn their personal tragedy and adversity into a blessing. And you are one of the many that belong to this very special group of people.
Thank you very much. Hats off to you, Rhys.
It's an admirable trait.
Thank you.
Can you share with our listeners how you started your t-shirt business? I find it pretty amazing.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So when I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
Actually, no. When I was 14 and I started drawing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so I'm drawing these things every day, whether it be like dragons or like trees or leaves. It was just like little things.
Yeah.
Nothing that was like a whole piece of collection.
Yeah.
It was like, I I think I need to find a way of putting it somewhere that's not just in my sketchbook.
Yeah.
So a year later, I had a GCSE brief for school.
Yeah.
And when I was in year 10,
yeah.
And my teacher said, you have to, because I did graphic design for my course. And my teacher said, you're creating a brand. That's your final brief. She said, like, it doesn't have to be any specific brand. It could even be like a coffee brand or it could be a t-shirt brand, whatever you want. And I was like, this is a perfect opportunity for me to kind of play with that thing that I've been wanting to do.
Yeah.
So but obviously me being a 15-year-old at the time, I didn't really have any money to make t-shirts.
Yeah.
So I contacted 10 of my closest friends who had the most disposable income.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, I can't afford to buy 10 t-shirts and like not get any money back from it. So can you model t-shirts?
Yeah.
But could you all pay for them? And they were like, Reese. I was like, yeah, I know. But they were, I was like, but you'll love the design. Don't worry. So yeah, so they bought the t-shirts,
yeah,
and they loved them. I was quite impressed,
yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, Reese, if you continue doing this, then we'll keep carry on buying them." They didn't, but at least they humored me,
yeah,
which is the good. But yeah, it was genuinely my t-shirt journey started with me having the idea of making t-shirts, and then me just doing a Google search, and it was just the company that came up the highest or the most, which was Vistaprint at the time.
Yeah,
my 10 initial t-shirts made my design on Photoshop,
yeah,
and then I just continued from there.
That's very impressive, Ray.
I believe
some of your designs were showcased in several movies. Is that right?
Yes. They haven't actually been released yet, which is the funny thing.
Okay.
But yes, my second, my third collection.
Yeah.
And my most recent collection that came out last year.
Yeah.
They were both bought by film production companies in the UK and Britain.
Wow.
For some independent film.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're going to be out in the next year or so.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was a real honor. I have a friend who works in the industry, so
yeah,
she took some of my clothes. And yep. The director liked the clothes and wanted to feature in the film. So
cool. How did you feel to see your vision and hard work steadily being discovered, especially through the movies? And I believe you also mentioned that some of the celebrities actually tweeting your beanies.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it was definitely, it's getting a bit crazy for me now because people associate me and Heinz Culture together like we're married, I guess. but in the beginning, it was definitely, Heinz Culture was just a thing in my head.
Yeah.
That I was like working away, chipping away, and no one knew who it was.
Yeah.
Or if people didn't know who it was, what company was, they were confused as to, was it a design agency? Was it a clothing brand? Like, what was it?
Yeah.
But now people kind of talk me about Heinz Culture like it's a casual thing,
yeah,
and it's crazy 5 years later,
yeah,
to me for it to be a very normal thing for people who know me and for people who are connecting with me.
Yeah.
And I know probably in the next 5 years it will reach that level of kind of like the person who doesn't know who I am, but they know the brand. That's probably where it's going.
I really can't wait for that day to happen, Reese.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it does happen.
I have no doubt that your work will be discovered and it will be so well known and well recognized.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyway, recently you published a book called University Entrepreneur.
Yes.
I can't believe it took you just, was it 6 weeks to complete it?
7 days.
What? 7 days? No way! You know, it took me 5.5 years to finish my book and thousands of dollars.
Oh, really?
Tell me, how is it possible for you to do it just 7 days?
It was a very crazy journey. So I started writing my book from November of 2015. So I had started beforehand, like last year, and I had just been writing like little chapters here and there, like only like a page or two.
Yeah.
So by the time it got to April, I had only written about 20 pages collectively. So it wasn't a lot. And then I'm being mentored by Eric Ho.
Yes.
And he said to me, we were having a conversation about me speaking because I want to do more speaking events.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like that's where I communicate my message the best. I enjoy being on stage. I make people laugh on stage. It's good. I was like, Eric, I want to do more speaking things. He's like, it'd be easy if you had a book, if you were like an author kind of thing. So it's a bit more of some authenticity to why you're speaking and you can spread a message.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. But I don't, I don't have a book. And Eric and Eric was like, well, you could release a book tomorrow if you wanted to. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, if your life depended on it, you would release the book, wouldn't you? And I was like, yes, I would, but my life doesn't depend on it, Eric. yeah, exactly. And I'm like, okay. And he was like, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. You're going to be my case study for all of the action taker mentees I have.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh gosh, okay. He was like, how long do you want? And I was like, are you going to give me 2 weeks? And he was like, no. I was like, okay. I was like, okay, give me 7 days.
Yeah.
And then he was like, fantastic. He took out his iPhone.
Yeah.
He recorded a video of him and myself.
Yeah.
And he was like, my mentee Reeks, he's releasing a book in 7 days. He became an entrepreneur at the age of 15. It's going to be an amazing event. And then he was like, I'm going to sponsor 5 books. If you want a copy of the book, please comment below. And then 23 people shared the post.
Yeah.
80 people commented. 90 people liked the post.
Yeah.
And I felt a lot of pressure. yeah, exactly.
So now you have no other choice but to write a book.
Exactly. And then I was like, okay, I only have 20 pages of this book made and I have 7 days. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I went home and I drew out the whole design for the book.
Yeah.
So I drew out like how it was going to look,
yeah,
what the pages were going to be like. Obviously I'm a graphic designer, so I didn't have to pay anyone to make it. And then, I was like, well, it's a lot easier if I work smart and not hard. So I was like, this can be a story. This can be my story and stories of people who have gone to university or have graduated university and have done amazing things. Or high performance people, because I kind of count that as the same.
Yes.
So I contacted 50 of my closest friends and also I contacted 40 of my closest friends and then got them to refer me to any other people that they knew.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting 36 people for this book.
Yeah.
They all submitted 500 words and like 2 to 4 photos of themselves or a thing that they do.
Yeah.
And then their social media links and website.
Yeah.
And I got a stuntman who's appeared in Kick-Ass 2.
Yes.
And has been in various feature films.
Yeah.
I have one of the only performing circus performers.
Yeah.
who does a bow and arrow performance, but she only uses her feet.
Yeah, I know.
And it's with fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arissa Kelly.
Yeah.
I have three great British athletes in the book who are friends of mine who I used to train with.
Yeah.
And then I have entrepreneurs from startup stage to six-figure companies in there as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I read each one of their story and it's just blown, you know, my mind away. It's unbelievable. They're so young and so talented, just like yourself. How did you come up with that? Such a brilliant idea anyway, Brice.
Thank you. it was honestly, I at the moment, I'm really trying to work a lot smarter than I am,
yeah,
I guess, because I work 18-hour days.
Yeah.
So I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll go to bed at 12. To be able to kind of juggle university and kind of running the business, that's how I do things.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of, with being in Eric's ecosystem and being able to kind of see how he delegates roles and how he has his business systems mastery, where he teaches you how to systemize your business and people run your business and then those systems run your.
Yeah.
And from that I was kind of like, how could I not just write like 20,000 words in a week,
yeah,
but how could I get other people to contribute their stories as kind of proof? Because I have a lot of conversations with people, and because they always ask me like, how do you like start a business, or how do I start selling t-shirts and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's always great when you hear more than one person say the same thing but in a different way.
Yes.
So I thought, if 36 people saying it is possible for you to turn your passion into profit, it is possible for you to travel the world and be able to perform or be able to connect with people, then people feel more inclined to get up and actually do it and be action takers.
That definitely, I mean, they are truly inspiring stories in your book. I mean, I love every single one of them. You know, the moment you gave it to me, I just kept on reading it. I think I finished it like 5 days later or something. And mind you, I had so many things to do, and I just put them aside and I just kept on reading the stories. So how many businesses are you currently running?
How many businesses are running from me or in the book?
Just for yourself.
I run Heinz Culture Limited, which is like my company, which I started at 15. And then I have a second company called Myra Magazine, which I am a co-founder to. My co-partner, Neha, is the founder. She founded it as a university project.
Yeah.
And now we are launching the company within the next year.
Yeah.
And it's an Asian fashion and lifestyle magazine, kind of like an Asian Vogue.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we're comparing it to. It's kind of showing the culture of, like Asia and like specifically Indian culture in Britain in like a modern way, and kind of how both worlds, both kind of societies and culture kind of live together in 2016.
How hard is it to set up and run a business, Rhys?
Very hard.
Well, you made it sound very easy.
I'm trying to be like one of those CEOs that make it look easy, but I have to do all the hard work. People ask how Heinz Culture is going. I'm like, it's like having a baby. That's how I compare it. It's like, it's there when I go to bed. It's there when I wake up in the morning. It's just, it's always crying.
Yeah. So 24 hours work.
Definitely. But how I would describe it is really, it's when you're doing something that you want to do and you have a vision for doing, it doesn't feel like work.
That's right.
Being able to wake up in the morning and being able to execute on your dreams and being able to have people support you and your dreams is something that I can't really describe. There's been various times where either like clients haven't paid, or last year we did our first annual fashion show and we expected to have like 300 people and only like 115 people bought tickets.
Wow.
And it was just one of those things you live and learn, and how every time you have to just kind of, you have to keep on adapting.
Yeah.
You have to kind of understand that the market is ever changing, people's interests are always changing, and that you have to always provide value first before you can even ask for a sale or try to go in for a sale.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes years.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Definitely agree.
Yeah. So what are your normal challenges that you face on a daily basis besides, you know, have to deal with the clients and chasing the bills and all that?
My main priority is kind of getting my collections done. So it's kind of me fighting time. Yeah. I really wish I had like 36 hours in a day. that would be fantastic. I'd be so happy with 36 hours.
You just have to find another Ray's hands and just have to clone him somehow.
Exactly. Oh, when they make cloning technology, it's gonna be a very happy day for me.
Yeah.
But I would say my main thing that I do in the day would be just juggling time.
Yeah.
And delegating my time properly, because for the first 4 hours of my day, it's just the business is just Heinz Culture.
Yeah.
And then from 10 until 7 p.m. I'm in university.
Yeah.
And then I come home at 7.
Yeah.
I usually nap for like half an hour. And then I might go to the gym and I'll probably be home from 9.
Yeah.
And then from 9 until 12, again, I'll be working on the business.
So when do you take time out for yourself?
So my half an hour nap.
I think you need more than that.
And no, don't get me wrong, I have like lunch breaks, and there are days I procrastinate.
Yeah.
So it's not as my time at uni isn't as efficient as some days are better than others. But on the whole, Monday through Friday is very much like from 6 a.m. until 12.
Yeah.
I try to be as efficient as possible.
Yeah.
And then during my weekends, I'm a bit more relaxed with my time. I wake up like 8, 9 o'clock, and I just kind of do what I need. I don't really have like time requirements.
Okay, so you do have the weekend for yourself?
Yes, yeah. I try to. I still do work. It's not like a day that I'm not working on something, but I take it a lot slower.
So what are your plans for the next 5 to 10 years?
World domination.
Oh, wow. I believe you.
In a positive way. But no, me and Eric always joke, because I was like, I want to be retired by 30.
Yeah.
I want to be a millionaire by 30.
Yeah.
And Eric became a millionaire at 24. Mm-hmm. And seeing as he's my bigger brother, I want to be a millionaire at 23 just to undercut him. But
You know, it's funny you said that, because I was going to tell you that when I was around your age, I want to retire at 30 and I want to be a millionaire at 30. And that's exactly what I accomplished. And then now you said 23, so I shouldn't even mention it.
No, it's still amazing. It's still amazing. Whatever age, it's still amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I get at 30, I'll still be happy. If I get at 23, I'll be able to brag and
ecstatic.
Tell everyone that I got mentored by Eric and I beat him. So,
well, you know,
it's friendly competition.
After this podcast race, I have the evidence that you're going to be a millionaire at 23, so I'm going to hold that against you.
Oh, God. Yeah, now we put it on the internet, it's going to be...
exactly.
I don't have to do that.
You know, it's potentially rich 100,000 people, and, you know, they're all going to wait for you to turn, you know, to become a millionaire at 23. That would be amazing.
No pressure now, but it's okay.
No pressure at all.
Yeah. Gosh. So what am I going to do in the next 5-10 years? I'm doing a lot of collaborations with high profile people for Heinz Culture. That's for the clothing aspect for the next 18 months.
Yeah.
We're really trying to scale the business into more of a commercial brand and not just a brand for young people, but a brand that kind of transcends ages.
Yes.
And then at the end of 2017, I am going to begin a real estate portfolio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been an itch of mine since I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. And I have the mentors in place and I have the right connections with people.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start my real estate portfolio at the end of 2017.
Yep.
And then hopefully it is a near enough six-figure company in 18 to 36 months after. I want to do a load. I also want to do house sourcing as well.
Wow.
So I'll be that. After that, hopefully, in between those two, hopefully Myra will be launching. So I look forward to kind of having that and kind of being a new ecosystem of people, because Myra's clientele is very different too. It's more of an Asian audience than mine, whereas mine is a lot bit more diverse.
Yeah.
And then from there, I want to, around the next year or two, I want to start doing some speaking events and kind of going nationally and internationally, doing speaking events and touring and things like that. I kind of just want to grow a bigger audience of people and be able to connect with people on stage and kind of give them advice and tips that I didn't have when I was 15.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my reason for making the book, because the whole premise of making the book, and there's a bit in it in the book and the last like chapter where it's like things I wish I could tell the 15-year-old me.
That's,
I think,
right.
That's what it's called.
Yes.
And it literally, that was the concept for like the initial ebook.
Yeah.
Like, what would the 15-year-old me need to know? Things like co-working spaces, or how to outsource, or that you can have freelancers do work for you, or that you can, there are multiple suppliers, not just one, to making t-shirts, or that you should like relabel your t-shirts and things like that. But I would definitely say my main goal for the next 5-10 years is to have passive income, to have various assets through books, through royalties, real estate, obviously my clothing. And then by the time I hit, when I hit 30, I want to start doing, or maybe just a little bit before, I want to start doing mentoring. And I want to invest in the other young entrepreneurs. I want to create like an education school where I kind of do a similar thing to Welsh Dragons, where I get young entrepreneurs, I mentor them, I teach them, whether it be through real estate or speaking or clothing design. And they can kind of then live out their dreams.
Yeah.
So that's my plans for the next 5 years.
It seems like you have so much on your plate. Is there anything that you don't want to do?
No, I also kind of want a restaurant franchise at some point as well. I'm just trying to find a business partner to make that happen.
Wow.
But I think everything's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like you are on fire. I'm curious, Ray. What are you planning to do after you become a millionaire?
I want to do a lot of social entrepreneurship activities. I want to create some form of organization that can kind of feed itself. So a form of charity that sells a product that then pays for us to go and do things to help the less fortunate.
Yes.
Me and a couple of my friends were talking about how there should be some form of like entrepreneurial school where people in disadvantaged areas could kind of get the same kind of mentorship that I'm getting for Eric, but instead of getting paid for it, they're more sponsored And maybe it could be like a results in advance thing. So once they have hit their million or 100,000 or whatever their goal is, then they can contribute money back to the organization.
Yeah.
So that's the next from 30 till about 50. It's more just about helping other people.
Yeah.
I kind of, obviously I'll still be investing and launching new companies, but I won't really be working for money anymore. It will kind of just be, I've kind of hit my 30 year goal. Yeah. And I kind of want to help other people realize that they don't have to be trading time for money, and realizing that they can become an author overnight, and just kind of breaking down a lot of social barriers that a lot of people still believe that entrepreneurship is only for very elite, or that being a millionaire is a very impossible thing, whereas it can be very easy if you have the right people around you. So yeah, it's just from 30 onwards, I will try and be as selfless as possible.
Now I can't wait for you to turn 30. So Ray, what advice and tips do you have for our young listeners today?
What I would say, and I think this is something that I didn't realize until probably a year or two ago, is always try to provide value to people, regardless of whether you're selling to them or not.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your mother, it could be your sister, it could be your significant other, it could be your friends and family, or it could be a customer. Treat your customer or that other person with as much value as possible.
Yeah.
I try to have conversations with people and give them one resource that they've never heard of before in every conversation, just because when you provide people with value, if you ever need to ask, sometimes you don't have to, but if you ever do need to ask for a favor or to purchase a product, you've already given the value up front, and that kind of helps with the sale so much more. I would also say Gary Vaynerchuk, who is an amazing author and entrepreneur, he speaks about self-awareness.
Yes.
And kind of, self-awareness and kind of knowing yourself, knowing what your strengths are, knowing what your weaknesses are.
Yeah.
And I would definitely say that's what I would give to everyone. Knowing if you're good at audio, have a podcast. If you're good at video, go on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know? If in my case, like I enjoy speaking, so I enjoy physically being on stage, because I know that's where I communicate my message best. Yeah. If you don't have self-awareness or you don't know what you're best at, please get like the 5 or 10 closest people near you and sit them all in a room and tell them, like, I want you to be very brutally honest with me. Just try and find out what your strengths are. And if your strength isn't what you want it to be, spend the next 5 to 10 years working on that thing.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Excellent. That's a very, very invaluable tip. I wish somebody gave that tip to me when I was 22. Then I didn't have to struggle, you see. Well,
that's okay. You made the success now. It's fine. Don't worry. So sometimes it's one of those things where you have to kind of go through the pain in order to see the success at the other end.
Come from you is very amazing. You say you're a young person saying that.
Sometimes I feel like I'm older than how old I actually am. I'm an old soul.
Definitely, you are an old soul. Well, thank you for your time today, Rhys. So I really appreciate that you coming on to my show and share your journey with us. Thanks, Rhys.
Thank you. Oh, can I say one last thing?
Yeah, sure.
What I will do for anyone who is watching this podcast,
yes,
I will give you a discount code.
Yes.
I'll make it in a second and I'll send it over to you.
Yeah.
If you type in ugly1 on the checkout, if by University Entrepreneur from my website, you'll get 50% off the book. So 50% off code.
Yeah, that's really, really kind of
you. No problem, no problem at all. I'm glad that I could help.
Well, that's all for today, folks. Can't wait for next week's episode. I'll be talking to another remarkable young man. He was born with spina bifida, which is a birth defect that left him permanently disabled, wheelchair-bound, and also causes learning and speaking difficulties. Yet every day he wakes up and can't wait to get out of the disability home to enjoy life and to look for opportunities to make a difference in this world. See you then.